Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Nick Volkaitis. Appreciate you, Nick. Thank you so much for signing up. If you have not yet checked out Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships, do so right now. Training camp is just around the corner. Tons of members-only content, members-only Q&As. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and of course, give those five-star reviews. Tell a friend. Those things help support the channel a ton. Today, we are taking a closer look at Brian Gutekunst, specifically in his efforts in free agency. And unlike Ted Thompson, who would only dabble every so often in free agency, Brian Gutekunst has shown that when he has the ability to do so, when he actually has some money to spend, he is not afraid to spend it, and he is not afraid to go and get guys in free agency, as we saw just this offseason with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. So today what we're going to do is we're going to try to rank Brian Gutekunst 26. Yes, 26 free agent signings. Do you want a quiz? See how many of the 26 that you can name. We put it on pause right now. Write it down on a piece of paper. See how many of the 26 that you can name before we go through all 26 of them on today's episode. Let me know how many you get right in the comments below. But let's get into it. Now, I want to say very clearly here, these are off-season signings only. So if you remember, like, he would find a Jared Valdir or someone like that, you know, in the middle of the season, or sign a Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad. This is not that. Those are not the players that we're looking at today. We're looking at off-season signings only. Now, a couple of these, you know, may not be unrestricted free agents. I think by the time they signed a couple of these, they may have been quote unquote street free agents. I don't care. These are off-season free agent signings, whether they were unrestricted free agents or street free agents, doesn't really matter. We're going to look at all 26 of them today, and we're going to, again, try to rank them from 26 to 1 and then kind of evaluate how Goody has done overall dabbling in free agency over the course of his tenure as GM of the Packers. So let's do it right away. We'll go through all of them and we'll kind of go over some of the statistics and contract numbers and things like that that they signed for when they initially signed with the team. Number 26 on my list, the least of the free agent signings for Brian Gutekunst, I have as Devin Funchess. He signed a one-year, $2.5 million deal, $1 million of which was guaranteed. He opted out in 2020 with the COVID year, then came back in 2021, took a pay cut in doing so, then used a racially insensitive slur during training camp. We don't need to get into all of that. That really isn't even relevant to, you know, him not working out as a wide receiver, but it's somewhat noteworthy nonetheless of just how bad of a signing that this was. He was then placed on IR in 2021. He was released off of IR in 2021, and he never, ever even caught a pass or got into a game in Green Bay in the regular season. So Devin Funchess got $1 million in guaranteed money, opted out the first year, and then was on IR and released off of IR with never doing anything for the franchise whatsoever. And again, his most noteworthy thing that is, you know, he had in his entire career was unfortunately that comment in a press conference. So that clearly did not work out in any way, shape, or form. Number 25 on my list, Tre'Davious Moore. He signed to a one-year, $1.113 million deal just this past year in 2023. They gave him $50,000 guaranteed. He got injured during the course of training camp, was eventually placed on IR, and then was released off of IR. I believe he's actually in Chicago's training camp this offseason, but never amounted to anything. It looked like he was going to be in the conversation for that starting safety job, which was up for grabs with just about everyone. Rudy Ford, Tre'Davious Moore, Jonathan Owens, but the injury definitely set him back, and then he got released off of IR, and the rest was sort of history. So they only gave him $50,000 guaranteed. It was really no harm, no foul. They were just throwing kind of crap at a wall at safety and trying to find something that would stick. Unfortunately, it ended up mostly being crap, but Tre'Davious Moore was not one of those that did stick with the team. And again, he ended up giving them nothing while signing for $50,000 guaranteed. Number 24 is Dallin Leavitt. They initially signed him to a one-year, $1.2 million deal. $85,000 guaranteed was the total guarantee in that first year. He played all of 2022 as a core special teamer, re-signed in 2023. They gave him some additional guarantees in 2023, then was released in November of 2023. The issue here, they basically got what they wanted here. They signed him to two small one-year deals, minimal guarantees. He was set up to be a core special teamer. That's exactly what he was. The problem is that he wasn't very good at special teams. He was fine. He was okay at best. But, you know, if you're going to keep a roster spot for somebody that is just a special teams guy and gives you nothing on offense or defense, they better be pretty freaking good at special teams, because you are taking away roster spots from people who might be good at offense and defense, and you are taking away maybe a roster spot from somebody you can actually develop on the team. Where Dallin Leavitt, there was never any, you know, delusions of he was going to become a good safety someday. Everyone knew this is a break glass in case of extreme emergency type of safety that you didn't really want on the field in that capacity, but he was on the team because he knew Rich Bisaccia's special teams and was supposed to be really good at it. The issue again was he was not that great. It wasn't like he was terrible, but he wasn't good enough to keep that one roster spot just for that, and he ended up getting released this past season. Number 23 on the list, Matt Orzech, who they signed last year to a three-year, $3.675 million deal with $300,000 guaranteed. He was signed to be Green Bay's long snapper in 2023, which he did do. He will have to compete with Peter Bowden in 2024 for that spot. And this sort of goes in the Dallin Leavitt conversation of they got their long snapper. The issue was he just wasn't that good. You know, we'll see if he actually wins the job this year. I think Peter Bowden is going to very much be in that conversation and have the opportunity to beat Matt Orzech out for that specific spot. If he wins it out, like, this doesn't necessarily have to be a bad signing in either way. It's a long snapper. It's a bottom of the roster guy, minimal guarantees. It's not going to really harm the team in any real capacity, but it'd be a lot nicer if he went out and had a really nice year this year and continued to pay that contract off. If he ends up getting released and Peter Bowden makes it, again, no real harm or foul. You're signing Peter Bowden to a rookie undrafted free agent deal. You're still basically paying peanuts to this position overall. But the truth is you need to find a good long snapper. Maybe Orzech is that. Maybe Peter Bowden is that. But nothing to write home about on that free agent signing so far for Gutekunst. Number 22, Sammy Watkins. Signed to a one-year, $1.85 million deal with $350,000 guaranteed. Was injured to start the year. They brought him back off of IR. He played in nine games in 2022, caught a total of 13 passes for 206 yards, did not catch any touchdowns. He was released in December of 2022. He played 279 total snaps. PFF gave him a grade of 61.1. I actually had a grade of negative 3.65 on that season. So much so, and I have to kind of believe that my grade was probably a little bit closer because they released him through the course of the year. They had no use for him anymore. Now, the writing was on the wall in 2022 that they were going to need to, you know, basically maybe get younger. Like, they weren't going to make the, you know, probably make the playoffs. I know they eventually made that push towards the end, but they ultimately released him and just kind of went with some of their younger wide receivers, which was the right call. But interestingly enough, before they released Sammy Watkins, I put out a tweet, and you absolutely bet this is a humble brag. Before they released him, I tweeted that and said they should release Sammy Watkins, and then I listed some, you know, potential players that they could get, and one of the players on the top of my list was Bo Melton off of the Seahawks practice squad. They actually did that exact thing, thankfully, and that turned into Bo Melton. So the release of Sammy Watkins has gone extremely well. The signing of Sammy Watkins did not go well at all. Number 21, Devon House. This was not the initial Devon House contract because, of course, they drafted Devon House. But remember, he left for Jacksonville, and then Green Bay signed him back in 2017 and then re-signed him in 2018. That initial deal in 2017 was 1 year, $2.8 million, $850K guaranteed. He played the entire 2017 season and began the season as a starter, or I should say was on the roster for the entire 2017 season and began the season as a starter, then re-signed in 2018, was placed on IR, and then he would actually never play again and would end up retiring eventually. Had 44 tackles, one sack, one interception in 2017. had a 62.3 PFF grade in 2017 on 658 snaps, had a 28.8 grade in 2018 on only 29 snaps. He had a negative 2.25 grade for me in 2017, and in those 29 total snaps, a negative 2.2 grade in 2018. Had a very abysmal start to that year before going on IR, and then again, eventually that was the actual end of his career. Number 20 on this list, if you want to actually argue that he is number 26, meaning the worst on this list, I am happy to hear that argument, and I would not necessarily disagree with you at all. So you could put him anywhere lower on this list, and I'm not going to fight you on it whatsoever. And that is Jimmy Graham. 3 years, $30 million, $10 million guaranteed. Ended up only playing two seasons in Green Bay, 2018 and 2019. Here's the other thing. They had an out in the deal. It wasn't necessarily super ideal, but they had an out in the deal after 2018 to just release him after that one season. And it was very clear just based on the 2018 tape, he was not going to live up to expectations and was not the guy that they expected. The bigger miss for me wasn't necessarily signing Jimmy Graham to that contract initially. Yes, he showed signs of slowing down in Seattle before they brought him to Green Bay, but everyone was still excited in some capacity. And you go back and watch the film and you still saw somebody who could get over the middle of the field and be a threat in the red zone. And you thought coming to Green Bay, that was something that Green Bay absolutely needed and would be able to utilize. But in 2018, he really lost all of his core powers as a seam tight end and as a red zone tight end, and became even more abysmal as a blocker. And that's where a lot of his negative grades actually came from. So I understood the signing initially, but not releasing him after 2018 was actually the bigger, more egregious error, in my opinion. They released him in 2020. And the reason I don't have him lower is this is not a signing that was like completely worthless, meaning he didn't give you anything. He did have 55 catches for 636 yards and two touchdowns in 2018, and then 38 catches for 447 yards and three touchdowns in 2019. He didn't live up to expectations at all. But it's not like, this was, again, the worst contract that they've ever given a player. Joe Johnson comes to mind. There's another tight end who we do not name in Green Bay that comes to mind as well. But these are not great numbers considering what the expectation was when they initially signed him. To make things even worse, he had five touchdowns in two seasons in Green Bay. He had eight touchdowns in 2020 in Chicago. He goes to Chicago and starts becoming a red zone threat as well, which was just a real kick to the groin after the fact. He had a 59.6 grade per PFF in 2018 on 795 snaps, a 58.0 grade in 2019 on 672 snaps. I had a negative 6.25 grade on him in 2018 and a negative 5.60 grade in 2019. Let's just say my viewing experience of Jimmy Graham was not pleasant. The majority of that was due to blocking. He was an abysmal, awful, terrible, no good, very bad blocker, and so many of his negative grades came off of that directly. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. The Euros have been absolutely phenomenal, and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action, and whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers, and also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get into the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff, and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family, is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes, and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Number 19 on my list, Pat O'Donnell. 2 years, $4,950K guaranteed. Spent 1 year as the punter. Was released in 2023. Wasn't a bad, awful, horrible punter, but wasn't very good. Was worth only one season. They only gave him the, you know, less than $1 million guaranteed. It was fine. Again, nothing really to discuss here of any importance. He was a punter for a year. That number 19 on the list, Pat O'Donnell. Number 18, Muhammad Wilkerson. This is a tough one to sort of gauge. 1 year, $5 million, $1.5 million guaranteed. The contract ended up working terribly because he played in only 3 games before he went on IR, and then that was the end of his career. He never played again. Had a brutal injury. Kentrell Bryce got whipped into him, hit his leg, got carted off, done for the year, done for his career. Had 5 tackles in those first 3 games. PFF actually had a 76.5 grade on him on those 115 snaps in the first 3 games. I had a plus 0.3 grade on him. It was going well. It looked like it was going to be a solid value signing for Green Bay, but the injury hit and the rest was history. So how you want to weigh, you know, gauge that and weigh that out on this list, you know, be my guest and put him anywhere you want, but it just didn't work out in large part due to that injury. Well, in all part due to that injury. Number 17, this is pure conjecture here. We don't have anything to go off of yet. I'm putting Andre Dillard in this spot. 1 year, $1.125 million. The key thing here, zero guaranteed. If he doesn't work out at all, there is zero risk whatsoever. He might not make it past training camp and he might get released. So he's more probably in that Tavarius Moore category, but there was no risk in signing him. Unlike Tavarius Moore, who they paid $50K to in guaranteed money, Dillard sees nothing. He will count nothing towards the cap because they signed him to zero guaranteed dollars. So I like this signing on the surface because there is some reward here with no risk whatsoever. If it works out, money in the bank. You win and there was no risk to begin with. If it doesn't work out, see you later. No harm, no foul. Not like he took a 53-man roster spot. The worst case is that if they put him on the team as one of the 53 guys, despite him not playing well in camp, and then he gets in the game and he becomes Royce Newman 2.0 and he absolutely is terrible, that would be a bad use of a free agent signing. But hopefully they're able to sort of gauge all of that in training camp and in preseason before actually keeping him on the roster. And you would think if that is going to be the case, that would be a tell at some point in this offseason where they'd be able to recognize that they need to move on from him before it would ever get to that point. Number 16, Jonathan Owens, 1 year, $1.01 million with no guaranteed money a season ago. Spent only the 1 year in Green Bay, is now in Chicago as well. Started 11 games a season ago, 84 tackles, 1 sack, 3 pass breakups. Had a 59.6 grade on 927 snaps and a negative 1.80 grade from me. Slightly below average safety, but he started in 11 games. He played 927 snaps on a $1 million deal for no guarantees. Like overall, you got your return on investment. You knew it wasn't going to be much better than that, but he played way more than you probably were expecting him to, and probably, quite frankly, held up better than you expected him to. So solid season, and he parlayed that into a new 2-year deal in Chicago. Number 15, this is one I go back and forth on. We could put him probably a little bit lower on this list, but I'm going Christian Kirksey here. 2 years, $13 million was the signing, $4 million guaranteed. Only spent 1 year in Green Bay, and then they released him in 2021. Had 73 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions. Never really lived up to expectations. PFF had a pretty bad grade on him, 48.2 grade on only 591 snaps. Did battle injuries that season as well. I was a little bit more generous in my grading. I still had a negative 0.25 grade on him, but that's more average-ish. But again, PFF felt a little bit differently. That's one of the few I think they actually have graded worse than I do on this list, but it was okay. I don't think anyone ever expected a big time linebacker out of Christian Kirksey. I think for the most part, he kind of filled his role. They probably overpaid him a little bit and gave him a little bit too much guaranteed money. I think one of the things that was advantageous about signing Kirksey is he was a released player. So they could sign him without him counting against the comp pick formula and things like that, which was a benefit to Green Bay, but it didn't necessarily go great with him as the actual inside linebacker for the Packers. Number 14 is Rudy Ford. His initial contract in 2022 was 1 year, $1.1375 million with $0 guaranteed. Spent both 2022 and 2023 in Green Bay. In 2022, he had 44 tackles, 3 interceptions, no sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. And then this past year, 71 tackles, 2 interceptions, no sacks, 1 fumble recovery. He is currently still a free agent. PFF gave him a 74.6 grade in 2022 on 443 snaps and a 69.9 grade on 626 snaps this past season. I had a plus 0.45 grade on him in 2022 and a negative 0.7 grade in 2023. I was just rewatching some of the tape, even from this past year, defensively, as I was going through, some LVN tape. And Rudy Ford showed up really well on a couple different occasions. Green Bay has no room for him whatsoever in that safety room. It was time to move on and time to go in a different direction. But I am shocked that he has not found another team. He's a good special teamer, and he's easily a solid backup safety when you need him. I'm very surprised that he has not found a team yet. Maybe he's just waiting for the right spot, or maybe he doesn't want to go to training camp and will sign right before the season starts. But he's definitely good enough to be on a 53-man roster somewhere. He comes in at number 14 on the list. Number 13 is Dennis Kelly. He signed initially to a 1 year, $1.325 million deal with $250,000 guaranteed, played only 1 year in Green Bay, 361 snaps, so didn't make the biggest impact in the world, but had a 72.4 grade in 2021 for PFF and a plus 1.55 grade for me. Even though it was only 361 snaps, he was a valuable member of that team in 2021 that made that push. He gave very valuable snaps at right tackle. Now, they made some interesting choices in that playoff game and where they put Yash and where they put Dennis Kelly and Turner and those sort of things. Those are, again, interesting discussions to sort of have. I think Yash was on the bench with Kelly and Turner, playing, I think, the opposite positions that they're used to. Whatever it was, it didn't go great. But Dennis Kelly did have a really good season up until that point. He comes in at number 13 on the list. Number 12, some people might have higher, and I could maybe understand that. I was never as high on his overall play in Green Bay as some others were, and as PFF was, quite frankly. This is Billy Turner, signed a 4 year, $28 million deal with Green Bay, $9 million guaranteed, spent 3 years with the Packers and then was released in 2022, had a 63.4 grade on 1,200 snaps in 2020, 70.5 grade, in 2019 was the first year, 63.4 on 1,200 snaps in 2019, 70.5 grade in 1,030 snaps in 2020, and then 67.1 grade on 866 snaps in 2021. My grades, though, far, far worse. So PFF had him average or above in all three seasons. I had him at a negative 5.85, a negative 1.15, and a negative 2.45. So I was actually lower on him. I sort of evened that out on the grade here or on the ranking here. So again, some people might have him higher. I would probably even maybe have him a little bit lower, but giving them the benefit of the doubt and knowing too that they gave a 4 year contract to a little bit of a journeyman offensive lineman, and he did start for 3 years in Green Bay. That's still a pretty solid signing overall. And again, comes in at number 12 on the list. Number 11, Jerron Reed. 1 year, $3.25 million, $1.865 guaranteed. Played in 17 games in 2022, 14 starts, 52 tackles, 2.5 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries. I had a plus 0.75 grade on him. PFF had a 61.9 grade. So we were basically in lockstep, a slightly below or a slightly above average season. Played 705 snaps overall in 2022. I thought he was a good player, solid rotational guy, helped Green Bay out. I wasn't upset when Green Bay didn't re-sign him back, but I thought they got good value on that deal overall. Only $3 million and you get a really solid rotational defensive tackle. You take that all day, every day. Number 10, Rick Wagner. Signed a 2-year, $11 million deal in Green Bay, $3.5 million guaranteed. Spent only 1 year in Green Bay, then was released and has never played since. Had a 78.2 grade per PFF on 756 snaps, a 0.45 grade for me, was really integral in that 2020 run. And obviously they needed him with the injury to Bakhtiari at the end of the season. He played really well throughout the course of that season and was a bargain find towards the end. Yeah, they paid him almost $5.5 million per year on that initial contract, but he was worth every penny. And that was a steal of a signing for Goody in that 2020 season. Number 9. Bringing back Tremont Williams. Remember, they brought him back after he spent time in, I want to say it was Cleveland and Arizona. 2 years, $10 million, $3.25 million guaranteed. Played both of those seasons. Started all 16 games in 2018. Had 52 tackles, 2 pass breakups, 1 fumble recovery. Then started 7 games in 2019, but played in all 16. Had 36 tackles, 2 picks, 8 pass breakups, 1 forced fumble, and 2 fumble recoveries. Had a 63.3 grade per PFF on 1,062 snaps, and then a 71.7 grade on 822 snaps his next season. I had a plus 1.25 grade and a plus 1.85 grade. So both PFF and I above average grades for Tremont Williams in both of those seasons. Green Bay got a bargain there as well. And it's always great to have Tremont Williams on your team. Mercedes Lewis is at number 8. Initially signed a 1-year, $2.1 million deal, $500,000 guaranteed, which has basically been his contract ever since, every year after that. Ended up playing 5 years in Green Bay. Interestingly enough, that first year was not great. McCarthy never used him and didn't really understand, I don't think, his function within the offense. It was really odd. Ended up with only 3 catches for 39 yards and only played 191 total snaps that season. Rarely played. Again, it was a really odd year. He almost retired after that. And then LaFleur and company convinced him to come back for that next season with LaFleur taking over for McCarthy. Obviously was an insanely good blocking tight end. Didn't have much juice left as a receiver. Had a 51.1 grade in that first year, followed by a 72.0 grade, 66.9, 75.1, and 65.6. So PFF always above average grades for him. I had him at a, except for that first year, I had a negative 1.65 in that first year, then a plus 6.40, plus 7.85, plus 2.90, plus 4.25. Basically the opposite of Jimmy Graham here. He consistently blocked so freaking well. Now he didn't give you almost anything as a receiver, but they didn't ask him to do much as a receiver. So it was tough to give any negative grades for that. In the meantime, he was just as good of a blocker as you could possibly be at the position. Still to this day, one of my favorite people to watch on tape as long as I've been doing this. Number 7, Keyshawn Nixon. 1 year, $965,000, no guaranteed. Was his third year on the team this year, just signed a new contract, a 2-time all-pro kick returner, is the starting slot corner, had a 61.2 grade per PFF on 290 snaps 2 years ago, 60.0 grade on 930 snaps last year. I had a plus 0.65 grade on him and then a negative 2.45 grade on him this past year. That's just on defense. That does not include his special teams contributions, which have obviously been immense. They give him a huge new contract this year. He still remains the starting slot corner for now. And of course is going to be their primary kick returner and possibly get some snaps in still at punt returner as well. Number 6, I have Josh Jacobs as a more placeholder here. 4 years, $48 million. This is going to be up to Josh Jacobs. And I guess we could maybe just take Jacobs and Dillard and McKinney off of this list since they haven't played yet. But from a projection standpoint, I'm putting Josh Jacobs at number 6. Deal with it. Number 5, Devondre Campbell. Now, I am talking specifically about the initial contract here. They signed him to a 1-year, $2 million deal, only $1 million guaranteed, spent 3 seasons in Green Bay, started 40 games, but specifically on a 1-year, $2 million deal, found a first-team All-Pro in 2021. Like just a massive, massive free agent signing that year. Now, the 2 years that they re-signed him, for 2022 and 2023, those did not work out so hot. Those contracts did not age well at all, and they ultimately moved on from him this past offseason. But that first year, first team All-Pro, 146 tackles, two sacks, five pass breakups, two picks, two forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. PFF had him at an 85.0 grade on 1,041 snaps. I had him at a plus 5.7 grade on that season. PFF had a 75.6 and a 65.1 grade on him the past 2 years, so they still liked him a bit more than I did. I had a negative 1.7 and a negative 3.0 grade on him in the next two seasons, which again, I do not believe were anywhere near where he was in that first year as a first-team All-Pro. Number four, Preston Smith. 4 years, $52 million, $16 million guaranteed, is now in his sixth year with the team. It is so rare that you see these four-year contracts actually pay off, much less extend. He is now, again, in his sixth year with the team. He played all four of those initial contract years. Had 12 sacks in 2019, his first with the team, has 41.5 sacks overall as a Green Bay Packer. PFF's grades, 66.5, 55.5, 81.5, 66.4, and 50.5. That second season was definitely a downer. I had him at a plus 10.4 in that first year. I thought he was fantastic in year one. Year two, negative 4.55. That was a really, really tough year for Preston. Then plus 2.85, then negative 2.45, then plus 1.30, continuing the trend of good year, bad year, good year, bad year, good year for Preston Smith. Unfortunately, that would put him as a bad year for the 2024 season. Hopefully that does not come to fruition. All right, only three left. Number three, Adrian Amos. 4 years, $36 million, $12 million guaranteed, spent all four of those years in Green Bay, had seven total interceptions. He was awesome his first 3 years and then had a really tough final season, and then they moved on from him. 75.7 grade in that first year from PFF, then 89.9, 74.3, and then in his final year, 53.4 only for me. Plus 7.15, plus 6.00, plus 5.90, three awesome years. And then in his final year, negative 3.75, just did a complete 180. You could tell his legs were starting to go a little bit. Spent the last couple years, last year, with both Houston and the New York Jets. Jets signed him, released him. Texans picked him up, played okay, but didn't play a ton of snaps. It was time to move on. But overall, that contract aged very well, especially those first three seasons in Green Bay. Number two, Za'Darius Smith. 4 years, $66 million, $20 million guaranteed, spent 3 years in Green Bay. 2019 is still one of the best seasons I've ever seen from a Green Bay Packer. It was epic. 13.5 sacks doesn't do it justice. He terrorized offenses the entire year. In 2020, he came back, still had 12.5 sacks, but he went big game hunting in 2020. He was looking out for himself, and he was constantly trying to get big plays and ended up losing contain and not doing well against the run and not really doing his 111th a lot of times. He still made almost one big play every single game, which has its value, but it was not within the structure of the team. And that definitely hurt the team at times as well. And then in 2021, you had that odd season where it was weird contract stuff. He wanted to be captain. He didn't get named captain. He made his own captain's chain. He only played in two games, had the injury issues, and then was released in 2022. Had an 89.7 grade from PFF that first year, then a 76.3, then a 56.1, only played 37 snaps that third year in Green Bay. I had him at a plus 20.3 in that first season, then plus 4.9, and then negative 0.15 in those 37 snaps in 2021. And then number one, yeah, maybe this is wishful thinking. I'm going Xavier McKinney. Listen, Za'Darius Smith, you could certainly argue here. You could argue Amos, maybe Preston. But I believe Xavier McKinney is going to end up being one of Goody's biggest free agent signings, if not his biggest free agent signing. The contract is definitely extensive for a safety. 4 years, $67 million, only $23 million of which, though, is guaranteed. I think this contract's going to age very well. I loved what I saw on tape from him in 2023. He's going to be a perfect fit for the defense, and I cannot wait to see him in green and gold. So to recap this one more time, 26, Devin Funchess, 25, Tre'Davious Moore, 24, Dallin Leavitt, 23, Matt Orzech, 22, Sammy Watkins, 21, Devon House, 20, Jimmy Graham, 19, Pat O'Donnell, 18, Muhammad Wilkerson, 17, Andre Dillard, 16, Jonathan Owens, 15, Christian Kirksey, 14, Rudy Ford, 13, Dennis Kelly, 12, Billy Turner, 11, Jerron Reed, 10, Rick Wagner, 9, Tremont Williams, 8, Mercedes Lewis, 7, Keyshawn Nixon, 6, Josh Jacobs, 5, Devondre Campbell, 4, Preston Smith, 3, Adrian Amos, 2, Za'Darius Smith, and 1, Xavier McKinney. Overall, Goody's done a pretty solid job and has certainly done a good mixture of finding some value free agent signings as well as some big time free agents that have worked out pretty well. You would have loved maybe a couple of those to go better. Jimmy Graham did not work out well at all. A lot of his misses, though, were pretty low risk misses outside of the Jimmy Graham one. And you can certainly give a lot more forgiveness for those and a lot of good contracts towards the top and a lot of free agents that have played a lot of snaps for Green Bay. I think overall you would give him a passing grade, but let me know what you think as well. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Rataka. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.